Welcome to Just Another Hunting Podcast. This is Steve with Mountain to Coast Outdoors in collaboration with Joseph from Way Out West Adventures. We dive deep into the world of hunting, exploring tactics, gear, and unforgettable stories from the field. Join us each week as we interview seasoned experts and passionate enthusiasts who share insights and experiences to help you enhance your hunting skills. Whether you're a novice seeking guidance or a veteran hunter looking for new challenges, this is your go-to resource for all things hunting. Tune in each week to step up your game and to connect with the community who shares your love for the great outdoors. All right, guys, welcome to episode 2. We just wrapped up our spring bear hunt in April 2024. We made it back to our base camp area a couple hours ago, and we're going to go through day one to tonight and take you through the entire hunt.
Yeah, day one, we flew in, so we technically couldn't hunt, or we could not hunt. But we knew where we wanted to go. So we traveled about 8 miles we initially wanted to wrap this river here, but it got kind of sketchy real quick. And we decided to not do that, safety reasons. So we put an end to that. We were about 2 miles into it, so it took 2 miles off our hike, but we stashed one raft, and then we took one raft with us just in case if we had to cross a river or a drainage, because we couldn't cross it by foot. This time of year, the creeks turn into rivers, so we wanted to make sure we were able to get across if need be. But the first day was just a travel day, set up base camp, and getting ready for the next day.
Yeah, so that first day we traveled, we slept in the bottom that night, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we went 8 miles-ish, set up the teepee in the bottom to get a good night's rest, and then woke up the following morning and hiked into a ridge, into a canyon, basically, that we had hunted last year and seen a couple bears in. We filled up with 8 liters of water apiece, just because we weren't sure if there was going to be water up there. The snow pack this year is a lot less than it was last year, so we weren't able to bank on being able to get snow from those ridges. So anyway, we packed the water up there, and we got up to that ridge again, set up the teepee. And that first night, if I remember correctly, the first night of hunting, which would be night number two,
yeah,
being here,
number two,
we glassed up a bear, which ended up being the bear that I shot
the next day.
Yeah, we glassed it up that evening at like 1500 yards and just figured we'd give it some time, and also thought that there probably wasn't enough daylight to get over there and get within range. So instead of trying to force the issue, we just decided to be patient and keep glassing to see what else we could turn up. And then, yeah, the following morning, we went back to our glassing ridge and started glassing again. And Joseph picked up another bear.
Another one.
Way up above the bear I shot. He decided to pass on it, and so did I. A little small. And I'm still trying to, you know, learn how to judge bears. So, was that the day we picked up the jet black as well?
Yeah.
Yes.
And then you decided to move up the ridge.
Yeah. So, you know, the middle of the day gets kind of slow. So a couple, you know, 3 or 4 hours had gone by, and I decided, well, I'm going to work my way up the ridge to get a different angle for the heck of it. And Joseph ended up coming with me, and, we got up there. We weren't up there very long.
And we forgot all of our stuff.
Yeah,
which always happens. And I knew it too. I knew as soon as I was like, man, we're going to see something because we don't have any of our stuff.
Yeah.
And sure enough, you saw that black phased.
Yeah. We ended up glassing a jet black. So of course we scrambled, ran all the way back down the ridge to our gear, packed it all up as fast as we could. We left some gear on the saddle, the stuff we didn't have to have, and we raced all the way back over there, just so that jet black could disappear on us again like it did last year. We think it was the same bear.
It was the same bear, for sure.
So he gave us the slip, and we decided, well, we're already all the way over here. We got a couple hours of daylight left. We'll just keep glassing. And it wasn't very long after that, Joseph glassed up the bear we'd seen the night before, showed itself again, and it worked its way down the ridge, got to 390 yards, pretty close for this country. We set up, adjusted the MOA on the rifle, and I took a shot, hit it middle, pretty good. But as you guys know, bears, they can bury themselves in some nasty holes when you shoot them. So I decided to jack another round and shot it again. And Joseph watched it pile up right up against the log and didn't move. So we had a bear down and a couple hours of light left.
Yeah. Second bear packed out of that drainage.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then we got him back out and went, gone back up to camp, slept, woke up, took every bit of the meat down to the drainage and did a backcountry cooler, stuck them in a creek with in a contractor bag and put sticks and bark, whatever, to kind of camouflage it and to keep it submerged. And it worked really well. It was damn near rock solid.
Yeah, the fat was frozen solid.
Yeah.
And the meat's still really cold. 48 hours later.
It's still cold.
Yeah.
Then we went back up to camp just in time to get into the shelter through a hardcore spring storm that just probably for about a half an hour, that tent was just fluttering. We were holding it down,
yeah,
trying to make sure it didn't blow away. I was thinking to myself, if it blows away, I got a couple contractor bags. I was just going to stuff everything in my contractor bags because I didn't want nothing getting wet. Because it was dumping snow. It was puking snow.
Yeah, that's one of the gnarliest windstorms I think I've ever, probably the gnarliest windstorm I've ever been through, for sure. I thought the shelter was going to blow off the mountain.
It very well could have if we weren't there.
Yeah, we were holding on to it.
But then we decided there was a break in the weather to head over there. We wanted to give this bear, that black bear, about a day and a half. We figured, we learned from all the previous hunts that you shouldn't just leave bears, especially if you want to kill them. They're in the same, they're in that general area. They're there. So we decided to go over in the last 4 hours of light and deal with some of the on and off snow showers, and got set up, and Steve picked him up in the bottom of the drainage, just as where he was headed the night before. And I got on him at 450.
440 to be exact.
And I shot him and I hit him and he instantly started rolling. But then I saw him up against the log standing up, or he was up. So then I jacked another one in him.
Follow up shot was a good idea. I thought he was down, but you were right. He was still up. But I think that first shot, he swung around back to bite at it. So yeah, bear number two was on the ground. Things happened really fast. And it's, we ended up back in that drainage again.
three bears in one drainage.
Yeah.
In the last 2 years. So we pretty much aren't going to go back to that drainage.
Yeah. Let it recover.
Yeah.
Crazy thing too, I just realized this. We got a blondish colored one, a jet black, and then what would you call it? Chocolate.
Chocolate, so yeah.
So three different colors in there, which is wild.
It is. Yeah, you don't see that in Washington. Not that much.
Yeah.
It's all black.
A lot of blacks. Yeah.
But I don't know. I think we should go over some things we learned from the previous year to this year.
Yeah. And I would say my personal key takeaway is patience.
Yes.
We last year we saw six bears last year. In 6 days. So in reality, in my opinion, that's pretty good for bear hunting. And, I think we just thought the moments get the best of us and we left the bears too quickly. We weren't patient long enough to let the hunt come to us.
I think a lot of that has to do with age.
Yeah.
And maturity.
Yeah.
when you're young, especially back when you're 20 years old hunting, you just want to keep moving.
Yeah.
And really the old fart that sits on top of the hill, he's the one that always gets one.
Yeah. True. True. I'd say that's definitely my biggest takeaway is patience. Let the hunt come to you. And if you're glassing bears, just they're going to show back up. That jet black that we lost the night before Joseph punched his tag on it, it only moved like 300 yards.
Yeah. And we shot twice.
Yeah. And we shot.
We went into the drainage.
Yeah. In and out. Yeah.
So our scent was down there. We shot twice and.
And we broke the animal down.
Yeah.
I mean.
The mule deer were up there still. They didn't spook and that bear didn't spook.
No.
So that might just be because out here it's in the wilderness. They're just not used to hearing those or they don't associate them with humans.
Yeah.
I don't know, but he didn't leave.
Another takeaway I would say for me, I mean, it's kind of, I wouldn't say a no brainer, but I underestimated the pack out on a 10-day hunt. I've done a lot of 6 and 7 day trips, elk hunting, mule deer hunting. But 10 days of food, packing that much water, and then both of us killing bears, our packs were over 100 pounds, and that's absolutely zero exaggeration whatsoever. And we came 9.5-ish miles to get back here. So,
the cool thing is we ran into an outfitter and they had a scale, which is weird.
Yeah.
Up here, but they saw our packs and they had a scale and we were like,
let's weigh them.
And they, we were right around the 124, 125 range.
Yeah.
All loaded up with every bit of gear.
And the meat.
And it wasn't fun.
No. So I would say when you train, I've tried a lot of, running, mountain tough, fitness, all sorts of stuff. And that stuff's great for, definitely helps. Don't get me wrong, but you can't beat putting a heavy, heavy pack on and just hiking, even if it's only for a mile or two, just working your way into it. Cause when you put that kind of weight on your back, I don't care how tough you think you are. That's
it's borderline crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to do it again.
No. Yeah. We're definitely not trying to brag here at all either. No. It was absolutely miserable. My head, the strain on my shoulders was giving me a massive headache. It was super uncomfortable. So yeah, I would just definitely say, make sure you put that kind of weight on, maybe in that 90-pound range or 100-pound range, just so you know what you're getting yourself into, because it's mentally grueling to put yourself through that, that's for sure.
Yeah, it was tough. It was one of the toughest things I've ever done.
For sure.
Because you have to, there's multiple ways you can skin that cat, but we debated on leaving the bears and just bringing all the gear and staying here and getting it up in the morning, then bombing back 8 miles to get the bear to come back, which is probably the smarter thing to do and probably have to do that next year.
Yeah. But we're like everyone else, we have families at home, we have jobs to get back to. And, we just figured, instead of
trying to make a flight.
Yeah, there's a lot of logistical things into this type of hunt. So we felt like it was, at the time, we thought it was the smartest move to just make it out in one trip, but that was really painful. So I don't know if we'll do that again. Maybe go halfway and unload the meat. And
our whole plan was to ride the river out.
Yeah.
That was the whole plan.
Yes. That's why we bought the rafts.
But, yeah, so that was more weight.
Yeah. But again, like Joseph said in the beginning, the river was, we were checking the flows. I do a lot of steelhead fishing. I'm pretty familiar with rivers. The flow was
3,500.
30% lower or, whatever, way lower 2 or 3 days before we got here.
Yeah.
And yes, we knew the snow was going to melt. It had been melting, but.
But the outfitter down here said that the reason why it raised so high is because it wouldn't get below freezing at night.
Yeah. So the river.
And now it's below freezing at night.
Yeah.
So we got screwed.
Our timing with the flows was a little off, but the river was out of control with flow. The white water was crazy. And we just pulled the plug because we didn't feel like it was worth it on that personally. So maybe next year we'll luck out. Maybe it'll be a little cooler and it'll be low and clear and we can use them if we do come back in here. But yeah, I mean, as far as other takeaways go,
I would say personally, me, if you go into a drainage with multiple hunters and there's only one bear, I wouldn't shoot it. I would just mark it on your GPS and be like, I'm coming back. You want to find an area where it's loaded with bears because the amount of work is a lot less.
Yeah.
If you're hopping drainage to drainage to drainage trying to kill or fill one more tag, I think it'd be a nightmare.
Yeah.
I do. I think it'd be an utter nightmare. And then you got a bear way over here dead in some drainage.
And then you're three or four drainages away.
Yeah.
Trying to fill another tag.
I think you got to be strategic and smart about it. And it may not be, maybe it's a 2 to 3 year plan where you can, I mean, because we found that drainage last year and sure enough, we go in there and we kill two bears. But I think it would be a nightmare to shoot one in one drainage and then trying to hunt down another drainage versus just be patient and find a drainage that has multiple bears and just fill all your tags right there and then get the heck out.
Yeah, or have realistic expectations, kind of like we did last year, and you know.
And if it's getting towards the end of the season, and just fill one tag then,
and be happy with
and
it,
be done.
Yeah, unless you're gonna split up, and that's probably not a smart idea being this far back here. But yeah, so I mean, this is kind of another little odd one here, but the solar panel game for me anyway. Last year was the first year I'd ran a solar panel to charge my headlamp, our tent light, my cell phone, my InReach Mini, and anything else I have electronic. If you don't have a solar panel, I would definitely recommend getting one. There's several of them out there. It eliminates some weight, and you have the ability to charge things.
They're not that heavy.
Yeah. I mean, I think the one I have is a Dark Energy, and it's like 11 ounces or something like that. I'm not exactly sure, but it charges my camera. It charges everything I have electronically. So I would definitely look into a solar panel for sure.
Oh yeah. Solar panels are a must.
Yeah.
And then maybe just a small power bank.
As an emergency if you get
3 days of nasty weather and there's no sun.
Yeah. There's those little nano ones that'll charge your phone once or whatever. And there's other options out there for sure.
Yeah. Cause back here, I mean, we're 30, 40 miles from the nearest trailhead. And we did fly in, but if you have no contact and because you have a date, I mean, that's another thing. If you fly in, you have a date that you get dropped off and you have a hardcore date to get picked up. Like you have to be there because if something happens, they're coming in on that date.
Yeah.
You have to be there. But if you make sure if your phone goes dead or your GPS goes dead, you're going to be waiting here until that hardcore date.
Yeah. I mean, we're technically leaving like 6 days early.
6 days. So if we didn't have that, we'd be sitting here for 6 days.
Yeah. Which would be pretty dang boring.
Yeah. So the solar panel is very important and a good one.
Yeah. Buy a good one. They charge faster.
Practice in your yard before you use it.
Yeah.
And every year check it before you use it. Because it's one of those things where I just don't know if the technology is there yet for packable ones. Although the Dark Energy seems to be a pretty good one.
So
it's better than mine.
I mean, we've only used it one trip, so I'm not going to say it's perfect, but it did perform pretty well. And then, I mean, water filtration, which is, you know, we've landed on the SteriPen for these kind of trips where you have a lot of flowing water because of the snowmelt. And then Joseph has a pump, which is a little heavier, but not by much at all. And you can really get some water quick with that thing. When we needed to refill our, 8 liters a piece, we broke that pump out and it was what, maybe 5, 6, 7 minutes. And we had 16 liters of water filtered like that. So,
and clean water.
Yeah. Ready.
Not like SteriPen water that tastes like.
Yeah.
Creek.
Right. SteriPen's great. Like today we were running and gunning with all of our packs loaded up. We left the SteriPen in the lid and we had our 32 ounce bottles. We could fill up, real quick and keep going. But if you're going to get massive amount of water, that pump is awesome. I definitely need to invest in one of those.
Yeah. You got to have a pump. I don't care what anyone says. No one runs them, it seems like, but I guarantee you, if you're with somebody and they have a pump and you're pumping up volumes of water, you're using the pump. You're not using a SteriPen.
Yeah, for sure. I think you have the Katadyn one. And you've had it for several years now, and it seems to...
I always replace the filter every year, no matter what. When we hunt in Oregon, I'll dust a filter just in the season because we're pulling from mud puddles. That's another thing. In Oregon, I don't know why, it's on the coast, but there's no water unless you go all the way to the bottom of the jungle, and I'm not doing that. So you got to pull water from mud puddles. That sounds disgusting, but that's all you got. It's mud puddles.
Yeah, well, you're not steri-penning that.
No, and it'll dust out your filter. Your filter's done. And they are expensive. They're $55 now. But don't ever think that you start the next year and, I just bought that filter. Dude, you don't want it going south because they're hard to pump. You can't get water through it when they're done. Like, you know when they're done. It's not fun. But
and really, I mean, for a whole year... You know, they're, what are they, $40 to replace?
55.
No, they're a little bit more, but if you get a year out of it, that's not really not too bad to make sure you have clean, drinkable water.
Yeah.
But. Well, I mean, it's getting dark. We're losing light. We really appreciate you guys tuning in. I don't even think we've really introduced ourselves. I'm Steve with Mountain to Coast.
And I'm Joseph with Way Out West Adventures.
Yeah, we do a lot of hunting together nowadays. We got a lot of things coming up this fall and this spring. We plan on filming these podcasts in the backcountry when we get an opportunity, and then film some other ones when we're home. We appreciate you guys tuning in, and we're gonna get off.
See you guys later.